Oh, that's right. We're right here with candidate number two for this afternoon. We have Bill Connor on the line with us. Bill is running for a, he wants to be the next, what is it you want to be?
U.S. Senator against Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, I thought I'd let you say that. Okay. And Bill, let's see, you have had a varied, you're a lawyer, you were in the a regular Army infantry, and you served over a decade as a regular Army infantry officer in the U.S. Army. You became a reservist, you became a lawyer through the University of South Carolina, and what makes you think you want to become the senator from the great state of South Carolina?
No, first of all, I appreciate you having me on and giving me this chance to talk to your listening audience. You might remember from before the story of how I got involved in politics, which goes back about 5-6 years ago when I just got back from Afghanistan. And I'd not been political before that, but I'd seen some pretty incredible things on the battlefield, people sacrificing for the Constitution. And I got back in the summer of 2008 and was there, obviously, watching things like the TARP bailout that fall and really get a chance to look back at what we had lost and what our founders gave us in the Constitution. It just, you know, Barack Obama was elected, did the stimulus package, and immediately pointed fingers at the Republicans saying, y'all can't say a word after what you've done. You've doubled our national debt and brought the TARP bailouts and everything else. And, you know, frankly, he had a point. And it got me fired up into, look, we've got to get true constitutional conservatives into office if we're going to save our nation. And so I spoke at the first Tea Party in the history of the state back in February of 2009, ran for lieutenant governor. In fact, made it all the way to the runoff, having never run before and not from a political family or political background. Learned a lot, but I lost that race. And I planned to just step back from politics, you know, after being in war and, you know, having a wife of 23 years, three children. It was kind of time for me to just focus on ourselves and my business. But starting last year, yeah, I realized I can't sit back. Our country really is headed to the point we are going to lose all the freedoms that our founders gave us, our Constitution. And I looked at the offices. Initially, the consultants would have told me, run for lieutenant governor again. You made the runoff. They know you as that kind of candidate. But that just was not where I was called. If you look at my background, I was recently selected for colonel. I have 24 years in the U.S. Army, multiple deployments to the Persian Gulf region, Afghanistan. I was in Egypt from 1996 to 97. I've lived in Europe. I've been overseas, and I've done those kind of things that give me a lot of sort of real-world experiences when it comes to national defense and foreign policy. And I've also run a small business. My wife runs a small business. She's an OBGYN in private practice. So all that together really gave the background to what senators need to do, which is run national defense, foreign policy, know about small business. And, you know, it really got me in this race. The final catalyst was that, you know, I'd served in Egypt. My uncle, by the way, is a Christian Egyptian. I know that country. And not only did I see all the mistakes with Lindsey Graham when it came to voting for Justice Sotomayor, voting for Justice Kagan, voting for both TARP bailouts, voting for a lot of big government stuff, internet sales tax, but then also watching him go to Egypt and basically kind of take the side of the Muslim Brotherhood over the Egyptian military. Terrible, terrible foreign policy decision. And I don't think he gets really that foreign policy should always be about American interests first. And that was not the American interest. It was about some kind of ideology, but it just was not a smart ideology. And, you know, for me, my founders taught us is the way we influence the world is how we live. We don't try to spread democracy by the sword. We look out for American interests, and we send troops in harm's way, and I've been in harm's way. It's about our interests first, and that's something I'd really like to get us back to. We also need to get this government under control, $17 trillion of debt, and it wasn't just the Democrats.
Sure.
Again, the Republicans, when they're in charge, doubled the debt, and Lindsey was part of that crowd that needs to pay a price. He's been in office 20 years, been in D.C. 20 years, and it is time for him to go back home and get a real job. I've been working now. You know, for a great many, I'm 46 years old, and I've seen both the government sector, the private sector, and I've also seen D.C., and I'm only going to serve in D.C. 12 years. I'll give them a word of honor. I'll sign whatever paperwork, but we need term limits, and we don't need people sticking around like John McCain 3.5 decades or Lindsey Graham 2 decades. So I want to bring that sort of perspective of the citizen legislator back into our government, stick to small government, one of the first.
Well, one of the things, Bill. One of the things, though, is when you talk about small government, this thing is so overgrown and so oversized.
Sure.
I really question whether it can even be brought back from being so oversized. I think the only thing to do is maybe move it to Nashville and start over.
Well, here's one thing you and I would agree on, man. I want to take an absolute knife to our national government and take us back to the Constitution. And one example, the first piece of legislation I'm going to proffer is getting rid of the National Department of Education. That's tens of billions of dollars a year. It's a non-constitutional department brought under Jimmy Carter's time frame. Education is the purview of the state. It always has been constitutionally. It is not under the Article in Section 8. Says nothing about education. And frankly, ever since they've had it, we've seen things like No Child Left Behind, Common Core, you name it. And we're going to keep seeing that kind of stuff, and it's a big waste of money. It's
But Bill, the unemployment rate in Washington, D.C. would go up tremendously if you did that.
Imagine that. I think it's the seven richest counties are all around Washington, D.C., so I think they can handle that. So I really would love to see the unemployment rate go up there.
Well, I mean, I'm just talking. You know, that's why we have to keep this federal government growing and bigger and bigger.
Sure. You know, I look at things like Department of Labor. You know, do we need an entire Department of Labor? No. And we can take things like, for example, we may want to reform the higher education loan program and put it as a sub-department under Treasury. That's fine. But the National Department of Education is just a place that's a sinkhole for money, and we keep having to fight things they send like Common Core. And so my thing is, look, give it back to the states and local government. They handle it fine up till Jimmy Carter brought us the National Department of Education. So it's time to get back to what the founders intended. And that's just one example. I mean, there's other examples,
sure,
too.
You know, one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, you've got down here, rewrite the current unfair tax policy.
Yeah.
You know, I think everybody talks about it, except when it's an election year, except when it's when this, but nobody ever makes any action. And one of my questions to you would be, you know, I think it's great to have all these great ideas, but how do you make them actually work?
Sure. Well, I mean, the first thing, like, for example, my first priority would be, and by the way, this goes along with ending Obamacare. I mean, that's a no-brainer for Republicans running in South Carolina primary. I mean, we've got to end Obamacare, but look, just focusing on ending something like the National Department of Education, that sends a message that we're serious, and we're going to shake things up. We're going to throw some bombs when we need to, but we're going to get us back to Constitution. When it comes to tax policy, I'm an unabashed no fair tax guy, and the fair tax would be a way, it'd be my goal. I'd do all I could to push us there, because until 1913, that's how our government ran, and it can be done. It's a tax on consumption, not production. There would be no IRS. There'd be some kind of agency to collect merchants, collecting the fair tax, which is a sales tax, essentially. But imagine the number of jobs that would grow. Because as a small business person, it's all about taxes. If you have less taxes, you're going to have more jobs, period. And I just think, right now we've got a just incredible tax code that's the so-called progressive tax that is just complicated beyond belief. We waste, billions and billions of man-hours and money and everything else trying to adhere to this thing. It needs to be simplified. I'm willing to go through a flat tax if need be, something more simple, but the end state goal I would have is a fair tax, and I'd love to see that at the national level.
Yes, but that is my question. How do we get people on the same page to do something that can actually happen? I think most people are real tired of the rhetoric. And we have a wide field here in the Republicans all vying for Lindsey Graham's job there. What sets you apart that you think that you can make a change?
Well, first of all, I didn't back down to Taliban bullets, and I won't back down up in D.C. I'll be another Ted Cruz. Imagine if we had 20 Ted Cruzes up there, for example. People with backbone standing up for what they believe in. And it's not all show. In fact, you talk to Alan Dershowitz at Harvard Law School. Ted Cruz is one of the smartest students he ever had. He's no dummy. If you have backbone, if you have some smarts, some knowledge, and the ability to help educate your fellow senators. Like, for example, Congress has the power to grant appeals authority to the Supreme Court, Article 3. Just take a look. It's right there. And so the reason I say that is there's sometimes the Supreme Court makes terrible decisions. There are times where Congress can look at legislation, it's clearly on its face, constitutional, and start using its powers, because there is a check on the court. This is one example. But a lot of senators don't know that. They just believe that, like, for example, separation of church and state is in the Constitution when it's not. It's a letter from Thomas Jefferson, who was in the Constitutional Convention, written in 1802, well after the fact, taken out of context. So I want to educate people as to what the Constitution says.
But, Bill, we all know the Constitution is outdated. How can a document from way back then be good for today and good for tomorrow?
Well, actually, our founders left a process, which is a supermajority, to amend it, and they have amended it. And in fact, you look at some of the amendments, like, for example, the 14th Amendment, that allowed the federal government to step in if certain rights were taken away from individuals, due process rights and treating people unequally. There were changes, and there have been changes, but it's got to require a supermajority to take place. The amendment process can allow for the change with time. The problem is we've got a de facto amendment process with a lot of liberal justices that amended by fiat and going against what all of us see in the Constitution and believe. The example is the Establishment Clause, where the founders prayed. The founders had days of prayer and fasting. The founders did church services in the government buildings. The founders, even Thomas Jefferson, sent money to send missionaries to India. I mean, there are all kinds of examples where the Supreme Court is just wrong. And the Constitution was written for all three branches. It's clear on its face. There are some things, like, for example, it didn't mention Air Force, but clearly when it says land and sea forces, it would include military forces. So there's some things you got to use your head about, but we do that in biblical interpretation. When Jesus said he was the door, didn't mean he's the 12th piece of oak. There are some things where you've got to use your head. But the point is, the Constitution was an incredible document. If we use it and follow it, we'll continue to greatness like our founders took us from way back when to now. And so I believe it's not outdated. And I believe in it 100%. And if there is something, again, that needs to change with time, it's got to be a supermajority to make that change so that we don't have what the founders didn't want was mob rule. We are not a pure democracy. The pure democracy is like the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, where 51% of the people get to take away your free speech rights or bring Sharia law to treat Christians differently or things of that nature. We have a constitution that prevents that from happening by the whim of a temporary majority. It's got to be something so important that three-fourths of the states agree to it. And that's the process we got to use. And I love the fact that the Constitution limits government. And it prevents us from this sort of living, breathing document idea that unfortunately has gotten us in a lot of trouble over the years.
Bill, one of the things that really concerns me is that the direction that our country is headed in makes me wonder whether it can be pulled back from where it's at. I mean, we just look at the foreign policy that's out there and things such as these. I really wonder, can we pull back from the edge, or are we a country that is doomed for ruin?
Well, I would not be doing this if I believed we were past that point. And I do believe in a sovereign God. I mean, someday nations will be no more. Nations is a drop in the bucket. But as things are right now, our nation is still the greatest nation on earth. I believe in American exceptionalism, we are different. And we are different because we're a God-fearing nation built on biblical principles. Doesn't mean we're a theocracy. All religions are free to worship, but it's under a biblical worldview. And I do believe all of the seeds of returning to the greatness that we've been losing are there as long as we have people of courage and iron will to set us back to the Constitution. I believe it's all in the Constitution. I really do. 24 years ago, I graduated from Citadel. I took an oath to that document, and that oath doesn't change. In fact, it's the same oath when I take the oath as senator, and it's to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And if we do that, and we stick to the Constitution, what it actually says, and don't read into it, then it's amazing, I think, how quickly we can get back to what's intended. But it's going to take some hard work. I mean, things like the national debt, $17 trillion+, we've got to turn it around or we will be Greece and we will implode. It's only a matter of time. And so we can't keep leaving the same group of people in D.C. and it cuts across both parties. I mean, I've got a commercial out there where Lindsey Graham praises Hillary Clinton as the most effective Secretary of State in his lifetime. His words on my website, BillConnerFC.com, and that's not being dirty politics. That's just words he used, and what shows you is what goes on the inside. It's almost like professional wrestling sometimes, where they're trying to do show for political reasons. But I really believe we need to stick firm
like folks like Ted Cruz and Mike Lee and Rand Paul on different issues have been, and I plan to be like that.
Well, you know, I think that would be good, but I think that there's a lot of forces that are going to work against it. You know, for to take the Senate, what did they need? 10 seats, 7 seats, what is it? That's doable, I think. That's right. Doable. But it's not going to be something that, even if they did make that many seats, is it something that is going to be able to change it in 4 years, in right. 6 years? I mean, I think people are weary of this whole thing. I know a lot of people that just don't believe that Congress or the Senate can move anything anymore.
Right. Well, I think if we keep leaving the same people in D.C. that have been there for decades and decades on end, again, Lindsey Graham, 2 decades, John McCain, 3.5 decades, Harry Reid, 4 decades. We leave the same people in there. We're going to see the professional wrestling that goes on. And during election years, I mean, that's what Lindsey Graham's an election year conservative. We'll see the rhetoric to get elected. And then for 4 or 5 years, they'll be as far to the left as they can. And we won't see the change that needs to take place. Because, again, imagine if we had 20 Ted Cruz. Imagine the force of will.
Sure. Uh-huh.
I watched Ronald Reagan like you did. And Ronald Reagan really taught a lesson that if you stick to your guns, you believe in what you believe in, and you don't back down when the press tries to lampoon you as being too far to the right. Now, he made some change. I saw us go from Jimmy Carter's time frame to what we saw in the 80s. It was incredible. I was a military brat at the time. My father was a serving Army officer. And it changed the morale of the military. It changed the morale of the nation. It turned it around. One man did that. And I believe you get some people like that up in the Senate, you're going to see the change around. But it's not going to happen unless you get some people who, from the outside who aren't going to be feel it necessary to go pat John Kerry on the shoulder and tell him you're going to help him out with a fellow Republican, or you're going to praise Hillary Clinton as the most effective Secretary of State in his lifetime. Those kind of things just aren't going to work. And so, you know, I do plan to be cordial when it's necessary, but also I'm going to stand up what's right. And I do believe we make a change, or else, again, I wouldn't be running for this office.
Okay. And I will give you now 2 minutes to tell us why you are the candidate that can win this Republican primary and go on to become the next senator from the great state of South Carolina.
Sure. You know, the first thing is, the state level, this is a Republican state. So I believe whoever makes it to the primary is likely going to beat the Democrat, regardless of which Democrat's going to be. I mean, the key thing here is, who could be Lindsey Graham? Because that's what I think the change that needs to take place. And we have some good people running, friends of mine. But look, I've got what it's going to take to make the runoff and beat Lindsey. I've got the small business experience. I've got a family. I've been in the military 24 years up to being selected to the rank of colonel. I've succeeded in my law practice. I can take them on when it comes to constitutional issues. And I've been consistent. Always voted as a Republican, always been a Republican and conservative. And since when I started in politics back 5, 6 years ago, I've been consistent with what I've said and what I believe in. And so if you give me the chance, I'll take the same leadership that I've shown on the battlefield. I'll take it up to D.C. I won't back down, and that'll make a difference. And I will say this, too, is I'm a national defense conservative. And so what Lindsey is trying to do is make it seem as though all his opponents are anti-military or some kind of libertarian isolationist. And I am a Reagan conservative who believes in a strong military, and that's part of the duty of Congress to fight for strong military, stand with allies of Israel, and I will do that. And so I'll put it all together into what the voters, I think, from South Carolina really want in Senator, win the primary, and then win the general election and represent South Carolina well.
Well, Bill Connor, thank you so much for calling us. Now, if people would like to know more about you, where can they find out more?
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, its website is BillConnorSC.com. That's Connor with an O-R and SC for South Carolina. Please take a look at my issues. You're going to find I'm conservative on everything you're going to find important. I believe what I say, and I say what I believe. And feel free to contact me directly through the website. And just thank you so much for having me on to talk to your audience.
All right. Sounds good, Bill. Good luck.
Thank you.
All righty. Well, that's going to do it for us. We are going to join South Carolina News in Progress. That was Bill Connor running for Republican senator to the big house against Lindsey Graham. Thanks so much for listening. Be back in the morning. Hey, we got more interviews coming up tomorrow, so let us help you make up your mind right here on WCRS. Bye-bye, everybody.